Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, daddy. Oh, baby. Back at it again. It's another edition of the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Show. I am your host, Rick Saratella, here on this Tuesday, April the 21st, 2015, which means we're just 9 days away from the 2015 NFL Draft in Chicago, where the NFL Draft Bible will be live on location, bringing you live video coverage, player interviews, anything you can ask for NFL Draft. So check us out, NFLDraftBible.com, of course, over on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible. And today, if you've been following, we've been banging you and bopping you over the head with a plethora of NFL Draft podcasts. If you're just tuning in and just found us now, check out the All Access Football Archives, where this show will be airing later on. We have a bunch of good stuff with our guest, the guru, Joe Everett himself, who's going to join us here in just a second. But if you check out the recent shows, we've gone through the burning questions you need to know on offense, which was yesterday. Today we're going to do defense. We've broken down big board gems, big board debates, NFL fantasy football impact and analysis for those of you who want to get a feel for the rookies out there. And for those of you who were tuned in earlier today, we had the Ross Tucker Tuesday podcast. And coming up on Friday, we will have Charles Davis from the NFL Network. So a heavy hitting lineup of football analysis gets underway right here, right now. And we welcome in the NFL draft guru, the star of the show, Joe Everett, into the show. How are we doing today, Joseph?
9 days. I don't know if my vocabulary is as expansive as the great Charles Davis, but the draft knowledge is there, Rick. I promise you. We're marking off the days. The noise is getting loud, and I think we're ready to bring the real today.
All right, let's get into it. Before we do, I just want to tell you to check out MyFantasyLeague.com. Turn $10 into $100 with 12-team leagues. Take advantage of the early bird registration at MyFantasyLeague.com. And we do have a new sponsor here on the show as well. It's a new NFL Draft Fantasy Football Contest over at milliondollardraft.com. Check them out on Twitter, at milliondraft. The top 100 entries are going to share $75,000 in prizes. First place is going to be awarded $25,000, and the entry fee is $25. It's based on the first round. I think it's 2 points every point you get correct, an additional bonus point if you correctly predict consecutive picks, and you can change your mock draft entry up to an hour before the draft gets underway. Unlimited entries. Again, check them out, milliondollardraft.com, for the $1 million grand prize. You're going to have to go 32 out of 32. So I think maybe it might be best to set your eyes on the prize for that $25,000 first place winner. So we answered the burning questions you need to know on offense yesterday. Today we have the defense edition. And, you know, Joe, I'm not even going to lie to you. I got so carried away with all our sponsors here and our big, heavy-hitting lineups. And you know what, my man? I forgot to pull up the rundown. So here we go with defense. Talking defensive line. The first thing I wanted to ask you was, from a defensive line perspective, you know, we always take pride here at the NFL Draft Bible, shining the spotlight on some of the small school players that you need to know. Who's a defensive line prospect that you think can eventually be a starter down the road? Maybe you think he's an instant starter, but a guy that, you know, coming out of a small school, not a Power 5 conference, that an NFL team's probably going to be lucky to have in the middle, late rounds and kind of develop and groom him along with that high ceiling. Who's your guy?
That few guys in this class, because as far as pass rushers, small schools, this is a good group we're looking at. Three players are considered, but the best athlete, the one with the most upside, is Davis Toll of Chattanooga, formerly Tennessee Chattanooga, the alma mater won Terrell Owens. Folks have heard of him, of course. I guess Chattanooga now. The two players selected from the schools likely to be Derek Lott, the former Georgia defensive tackle, but Davis Toll's going to go higher than him, and he's really getting a lot of buzz right now because of his phenomenal workout numbers. This is the guy that, you know, were it not for Chris Connolly and Byron Jones of UConn, his 42.5-inch vertical would have spoke volumes at his size. You know, 246 pounds, a 42.5 vert is just freakish. Also consider he had an 11-foot broad jump, and all this is on a bad hamstring. Just the fact that he worked out and was able to post these numbers, I think, is a credit to him. At his pro day, he ended up running a 4.57 40, and one scout just threw up his hand and said, "I've seen enough, I'm going home," just because he knows that type of movement, that just rare movement skills. Charles Davis Toll, actually his full given name is, he projects as a stand-up rushing backer. He's played mostly DN, but at the next level, he's probably going to have to be that outside 3-4 backer. But I just see a nice combination of Jared Allen's length and the athleticism of a Robert Mathis, both of whom were small schoolers, Idaho State, Alabama, A&M, respectively. So this kid, first team, FCS, All-American, he only ended up at Chattanooga after breaking his leg his senior year. It's, you know, one of those classic small school case that resulted in limited offers, but 52 tackles for loss and 32 sacks the last season. I'm just, you know, waiting for what this kid is going to do at the next level. Once again, not only did he gut out a hamstring injury to work out, he was also awaiting surgery on a torn labrum. So the fact that he's playing through all this pain just for a chance to get in the NFL, I think speaks to his intangibles. And speaking of intangibles, Dean's List, 7 different semesters, 2 of which carrying a 4.0 GPA. So, yeah, I just could not be more impressed with Davis Toll, Tennessee Chattanooga, now formerly Tennessee Chattanooga. But this kid's, I think it's day 3, sure, no problem where he's drafted. That's the kid that's going to stick. He's going to make that impact just because of that great upside he's got.
Yeah, and, you know, I know this was a circled on the calendar for a lot of NFL scouts. I think they had, you know, well over 15 scouts at the Chattanooga Pro Day, just because I believe, pretty sure, I'm going to have to go back and recheck this, but I'm pretty sure he was going to be undergoing some kind of medical procedure. I know you mentioned the torn labrum. So he actually got in the Pro Day, put off the surgery, and said, "Nah, I want to run, I want to jump, I want to impress in front of Sten. I'll do whatever I have to do." And I think he might miss OTAs, might miss rookie camps, but you know, if not for that, he'd probably be looking at the 3rd, 4th round range. But you know, I think if you get this kid in the 5th round or later, definitely all on board with everything you said, Joe. I think the kid's going to be a legitimate player, and hopefully put Chattanooga on that NFL radar and help open up the pipeline for future prospects coming out. And we got Joe Everett, Rick Saratella here, you there, and we're talking NFL draft questions you need to know heading into the 2015 NFL draft on the defensive side of the ball. And there's a couple of pass rushing prospects with some raw skills, Joe. And you know, the ego of NFL coaches, you know, they see a lump of clay and they want to mold it. They think they're the guy that's going to turn this kid into, you know, a pass rushing animal. I remember, you know, Rex Ryan here in New Jersey with the Jets would always bring in reclamation projects and swear that they were going to turn around and become a sack master. And sometimes it works out all well and fine and dandy, but with so many players coming out for the draft each year, you got to evaluate, you know, about 1,500, 2,000 players. So we're trying to narrow it down to a pass rushing prospect, in your opinion, that does have those raw skill sets that you think can be molded, taking that ball of clay, and down the line, maybe he's a developmental late round pick type of guy, but down the line can be one of those pass rushing presence that every NFL team craves.
I almost used this guy for the last question. He's another small schooler, but it's Kyle Emanuel of North Dakota State. Those Bisons, they play football. They win that tourney every year, and Emanuel is a big reason why. I think in the right defense, he's going to thrive. Once again, a similar situation to Davis Toll. I think he's going to have to stand up, but this kid, 32.5 tackles for loss, 19.5 sacks, and that's just last season. That's just 1 year of production. Great hand usage, just really understands angles from the way I watch his game. And I'm sure, suspect competition, but that kind of relentless motor, that kind of high football IQ, just really good kid. Reminds me a little bit of Bryce Pop. You know, he's got that thickness about him, but never runs cold. Yeah, the old Northern Iowa sleeper, no longer a sleeper. I think this is what Kyle Emanuel envisions to be. But one thing about Pop, the motor never ran cold, and that's one thing about Emanuel. It's just his hair is on fire until that whistle blows, and I think that's a kid. It may not happen the first couple of seasons, but like you say, a coaching staff's going to see the raw tools, the Buck Buchanan Award winner there. So I think that's what coaches are just going to be salivating and say, I can turn this guy into something. So I'm looking at Kyle Emanuel as being that late gem that turns into somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the production, nearly 2 sacks per game, and another one of these guys that was at the East-West Shrine game but didn't get the invite to Indianapolis. And, man, I really hope the NFL changes the evaluation process and does something about the combine snubs. And instead of, sending scouts to individual workouts and pro days all around the country, it just doesn't make much sense from a financial standpoint, from an evaluation standpoint. You know, you got to take time out of your day every day for a month to attend these various pro day workouts. Why not just have another combine, invite another 200-300 kids, and then we just eliminate the whole need for pro days, and hopefully that's something that the NFL is listening to right now, because I know they're avid listeners, Joe. Anyway, that's my rant for today. Talking to Joe Everett, Rick Servitelli here, breaking down the burning questions you need to know, and nobody breaks it down better than Joe, never leaves a stone uncovered, and we're moving down the defensive rankings and talking now on to linebackers. And you know, the one interesting debate about this year's draft, there really seems to be no consensus top middle linebacker prospect. Now, I know for my money, I'm an Eric Kendricks fan. I think at the end of the day, he's probably the best in my opinion, but I've heard some convincing arguments, and Benardrick McKinney, Mississippi State, to me, he's more of a love the size, but to me, he's more got that boom or bust type of label that kind of scares me a little bit. Denzel Perryman, you know, I think anytime a linebacker runs a 4.80 range, you know, it's a little bit concerning. You think Manti Te'o, you think Vontaze Burfict. And, you know, you can play at the next level at 4.80, but for me, that's a little bit too risky to take with the first round selection. And then the kid from Clemson, Stephon Anthony, is another guy, kind of late riser as we get closer to the NFL draft. And I'll throw one more other guy into the mix who I think, when it's all said and done, in my opinion, this year's Luke Kuechly, probably going to be a tackling machine at the next level. That's Kansas linebacker Ben Heaney. Give me this kid on my team any day of the week. I don't care what round you take him, first, second, or third. He's going to be an immediate starter at the next level, in my opinion. So I gave you 5 candidates, Joe. If I were to go download 5 different NFL draft podcasts about this topic, I'd probably have 5 different answers. So we're going to turn it over to you and ask you who your number one rated middle linebacker is in this upcoming 2015 NFL draft.
It is such a difficult question because of the quality and the depth of this position. It's a really, really solid group coming into this year, but I'm an Eric Kendricks man as well. For me, this comes down It's a debate between Stephon Anthony, his athleticism, his experience in Brent Venables' defense, those Clemson kids coming out, man. There's going to be a lot of them this year as well, and that's just going to be a trend every year. Those Tigers that played big-time defense, the fact that Anthony tested so well, I just did not see that coming. I knew the intensity, the ability to blitz, but he's the one that really got me thinking about that number one ranking. And, you want a surprise first rounder. I've even heard some whispers Anthony could sneak in there. But Kendricks, the ball hawking, the experience, the football IQ, the NFL bloodline, Jim Mora's defense led by former Penn State D coordinator Tom Bradley, the Butkus Award winner, younger brother Michael Kendricks. I mean, Kendricks seems to have so many things going for him, and we always talk about those clean prospects that just check off every single box. Boy, Kendricks just right down the line. The only downside for him, I guess, is that he's an underclassman and wasn't able to do an all-star event and blow that up, because I'm sure he would have. This guy's just around the ball. He has that nose for the pigskin. He wants to be in on every play. He's an intense competitor. And, Kendricks, I think we're both thinking in concert there, Rick. I think he's the number one. It's not clear-cut, but once you start boiling down these prospects, he's the one that just fits all your needs. I think he plays in any system, and sure. I don't care if he's the first backer off the board, but that's the best one that's going to be taken.
Yeah, and you mentioned the bloodline, something we've mentioned in previous podcasts, and I saw the bloodline article come across my desk this morning, so we will actually be posting that on the NFLDraftBible.com. website, courtesy of Joe. The bloodline piece, I know it's been something you've been working on now. So many guys with NFL bloodlines tied into this draft. Give the listeners at home a little sneak peek preview of what the bloodlines article is going to feature.
Well, it seems like every year we get these cats that, it turns out his cousin's this, and his father is the all-pro list of, what all that. But it's, for this season, it just seems to be almost double that number. I mean, of course, everyone knows about Breshad Perriman, but, for example, J.J. Watt's cousin, Jake Kumerow, Wisconsin Whitewater receivers in the draft. And, the tight end from Minnesota, his father's a former Giants center. I mean, we already talked about Kendricks, and there's just so many cats, even non-NFL bloodline directs, that I think it makes a difference on a lot of these players. You know what type of competitive nature is not only in them, but, hey, if it's someone's brother like Michael and Eric Kendricks, you could only imagine the pickup basketball games that had to occur at the Kendricks household. I'm sure those were bloodbaths. I think it makes a big difference on the evaluation of a player, especially when their father is a previous NFL player. Not only do they have more familiarity with the process, but once again, that competitive nature, it shows up in every process of their life. So I think, it's something that we should be doing every year.
Yes, and I have heard general managers state and go on record publicly that is a factor that is part of the equation. And I don't think it's a end-all, be-all type of determining factor. I think where it comes into the equation is, you look at a guy like Kendricks and McKinney, maybe you have them evenly ranked and you're trying to decide upon which one you want to go with. And sometimes that's when the bloodlines comes into play and, could give another guy the edge when you have two evenly ranked prospects. So definitely some good perspective there. We'll be posting that article by Joe Everett on the NFLDraftBible.com today, along with the Ross Tucker podcast. And, of course, this podcast here that you're listening to right now. Okay, let's go on to the defensive backs in the draft, Joe. Cornerback is pretty much been discussed on the previous podcasts. So I want to dig a little bit deeper. There's always guys, and over the years, Richard Sherman, Devon House is another guy that goes in the middle or late rounds that kind of gets overlooked. I'm curious to know, who's your cornerback prospect for 2015 that fits in that category and could ultimately go on to start at the next level, like a Richard Sherman, like a Devon House, and some of these other guys? You know, Sam Shields is another guy from Green Bay who I don't even think was drafted, but you saw him emerge into a starter at the next level. Who's the guy for you that's sticking out here?
There's a few in this class. It's a nice depth and on that third day. And I brought some names to the podcast before. Your Ramon Claiborne's. I'm a big Cam Thomas, a Western Kentucky fan. But one guy that just seems to be swept under the rug or just glanced over all the time, I think it's because of height, Cinquez Golston out of Ole Miss. I think he's going to end up in that fourth round, fifth round area. The kid was a three-year starter, though, in the SEC. He's extremely tough against the run and is a natural ball hawk. The Boston picked this guy in the MLB draft 2011, and the ball skills, I think, were on display this last season with 10 interceptions. If Golston was 6 foot even, I think we'd be talking about a first-round draft pick. But unfortunately for him, he's about 5'8 and a half. But, you know, you watch him play, I see a lot of honey badger to his game. I think he's just going to be that guy outside the box or just as a nickel in sub packages. But he's going to find his way on the field just because of how involved he is in the gameplay, what kind of anticipation he has. And just once again, this is another guy I'm probably wearing out the term, Rick, but football IQ. He just understands what's happening before it happens. It's not Polamalu-esque, but it's close. I just look at Cinquez Golston and I say, this kid's a gamer. He will play. He will start. It's just, once again, it's lack of length. It's lack of natural height. I mean, that's the only thing that's separating him from being, in my opinion, a borderline first-day pick.
Yeah, you talk about the ball hawk instincts and aggressiveness. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Jimmy Ward from the Ravens coming out a couple years ago. And I'm going to give you two for the price of one here. Going down to Texas over at Rice University, Bryce Callahan, another one of these quote-unquote undersized cornerbacks that just fits the bill. He's a football player. He's a gamer. Tested through the roof, jumped through the gymnasium at his pro day. Talk about a pesky guy. Physical and just a tremendous player. I've talked to some of his teammates, and this kid is going to be a serious, legit player. Bryce Callahan, currently ranked 19 on the big board, but in my personal rankings, I would have him probably in my top 10, to be quite honest. That's how high I am on the kid. So Bryce Callahan, Rice University, is my cornerback that I think will be taken later on in the draft, maybe not taken at all, but a guy that I think will go on and start in the league where they play for pay. All right, now, safeties is one other position we need to cover, and sort of like the middle linebacker position, except not as deep, just as confusing, is the consensus on the safety rankings. And for conversation purposes, we'll lump free safeties and strong safeties together, Joe. But I know Mike Mayock of the NFL Network made some noise with promoting Demarius Randall from Arizona State as his number one safety. A lot of people think maybe too raw to use a first-round pick on him. Cody Pruitt was a guy from Mississippi who probably came into the season as one of, or if not the top safety prospect. And then I know you got your boy Quentin Rollins at Miami, Ohio. Some people think he's a corner. Some people think long-term he might be a free safety. One more sleeper at free safety, Adrian Amos, Penn State. I'm thinking this kid is going to be rising and get taken a lot higher than people think. And then you talk about the strong safeties where Landon Collins has kind of been in that cruise control seat, so we assume, in terms of draft stock and projection, but a lot of people down on him. Shaq Thompson, another one of these tweeners without a position. Maybe he's a linebacker. Maybe he's a safety. He could be a guy. And then we have James Sample from Louisville. Just when you talk about the physical specimen that he is, people talking about him possibly moving up into that late first, early second round gray area. So I can't really pinpoint which one is the best, Joe. Every day I wake up, I like a different safety as my top safety. I'm just curious, just to try and get a feel from your perspective, if you can rank them in order, but who's the top three guys that you see coming out of this draft class for 2015?
I think it's similar to the backers, to where you ask four different draft sites, you're going to get three or four different orders and safeties. So, I mean, even the Deron Smith kid from Fresno State, some people are high in. I am not. But for my money, my top three in order, I'm going with most people's consensus, Landon Collins. And then I am a Demarius Randall fan from Arizona State. That's my two. And my three is Jaquiski Tartt. I'm just totally impressed with Tartt. First, Collins is who he is. I think why people are souring on him is the late games by Alabama, saying that he could be had on the deep end and that his recovery speed is not great. No, his recovery speed is not phenomenal, but I would say that's the scheme. They have him out there on an island. They have him taking multiple risks, and that's just the Crimson Tide defense, and I think that's why Ohio State was so successful with their long nine routes. But be that as may, strong safety spot in Nick Saban's defense is cut in his mold, and Collins has that same kind of tenacity, the competitiveness, just bravado that his coach does. I think that's a big reason why he should be high up on a lot of people's lists. Once again, at that extra coach on the field is how I view Collins. So I think that's your smartest guy, not necessarily a free safety, but a guy that should be able to play day one. But my next two, Demarius Randall and Tartt, I think are guys that free safety, strong safety, it just doesn't matter. Randall has the coverage ability, but he's also a Jesse in run support. I mean, he led the Sun Devils in tackles last year with 100-plus. Another big-time leader on the field that other players grab it. That's what you want. Randall's just that football geek, a self-made player. He went the JUCO route, turned himself into one of the best safeties in the nation. So that's the type of guy you just want on your team. And as far as those IDP gems that I referenced in the last show, folks, Demarius Randall, oh yeah, he's going to be in the top 25. Just once again, that type of gravitating towards run support is what I like in IDP. If you're going to fill up the stats with 100-plus from the safety position at the back half, that's nothing short of impressive to me. And Tartt's another guy. I think most teams probably look at Jaquiski Tartt as a strong safety, but that's a guy, put him in the back half, he could do center field in a snap. So I think the reason why I like Randall and Tartt so much is just the versatility, and Tartt also meeting him, just super serious, yes sir, no sir, to every answer. You could ask him his favorite rap group, and it would be this sir. Just such a really, really serious kid, and that's another guy. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind he's just going to take to coaching and win himself a starting spot by the end of year one.
Yeah, and I love Jaquiski Tartt. I think he might not come in and be an immediate starter, but I think what he is when he kind of polishes the rough edges around his game is he's Louis Delmas.
Yeah. You
know? So, I mean, and here's a kid, you could probably get him maybe in the third or fourth round the way I see other people projecting him. So, and, you know, going back on the Landon Collins thing, I think part of the problem is, too, you know, with a couple extra weeks to poke and prod at these prospects, I mean, we're sitting around like 4 or 5 months just trying to find flaws in these guys now, you know, and it's getting to the point of borderlining redunculous. And the NFL, I know they're avid listeners, like we said before, maybe you should consider you know, moving the draft back up a little bit earlier, but we're in the business of the NFL draft. We're not going to complain. We're going to milk this process for whatever it's worth and get all those extra clicks. And hey, man, I got no beefs or problems or quarrels with it, but man, it is becoming, it seems like a lengthy process. I could only imagine how the scouts on the road are feeling, you know, after, you know, traveling around the country during the regular season. Then, you know, the draft season gets in gear, and then, you know, you have all the coaching staff wants to get involved with the evaluation process, and then you're on the road again to all these different pro days. I'm sure they're just can't wait for that, you know, week vacation coming up in a couple weeks for them. So my heart goes out to the NFL scouts who really don't make much money, travel on the road away from their families a lot of the time. Not a very rewarding job at all, but something that, you know, if it's in your blood, if it's in your love, then you know what we're talking about because you hear it pouring through on the NFL Draft Bible radio airwaves. You can see it coming through at the NFLDraftBible.com website. Over on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible, we appreciate all your support. And even here on Blog Talk Radio, if you like what you heard, please click subscribe. We want to build up that audience, and you can do your part. Help us out. Just click subscribe. You'll be notified of our podcast. Also, over on YouTube, All Access Football, we have great videos. We'll be bringing you videos at the draft. I have a workout tomorrow here in New Jersey with Colt Lierla. Remember him, Joe? Tight end from Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, getting some NFL interest. So he has a workout here tomorrow in Jersey. We'll be bringing you the video of that kind of coverage. It's not your traditional mainstream media coverage that NFL and Network and ESPN keeps banging you over the head with the same guys, the same coverage, the same first-round baloney. We like to dig deep and deeper, just like our girlfriends tell us to. So with that being said, Joe, time for the fun part, you know. I try to get it in, guys. I got that Jersey sarcastic humor stuff. It doesn't translate across to the other end. Believe me, it's all in good fun nature here at the NFL Draft Bible. Joe Everett, Rick Saratella breaking it down. And the fun part of the show, a few minutes left. One play, we did this on the offensive podcast yesterday. We're going to do it for the defensive guys. The one player on defense now that you take a look at the mock draft, you see him in just about every mock draft, but you see him and you go, no, just not on board, don't see it, don't get why others see it, just not happening in my opinion. Who's that player for you?
I may get in trouble here, but it's Eric Armstead out of Oregon. I know he is just this massive tower with his elite size and length, but nothing else about his game stands out to me. He's a guy that plays too high. I don't see great leverage. Now, granted, that's due to his natural size, but I'm not seeing any suddenness that's needed to be a plus pass rusher at the next level. I'll buy that this is a guy that could be a better pro than a collegiate player, you know, because he's got some upside and growing to do, whatever, but that potential is just still out there. I see a very raw player that has, once again, I don't see his hair on fire. I see his motor running cold on some plays. I see a guy that can be moved and should not be moved with that great body he's got. So I see mocks all around with him in the 20s. One mock I saw, he's in the teens, which, I may be dead wrong on this one, Rick, but this is just a personal preference. I see a player in games that I don't know is going to make a big difference for my defense or my team, to where there's a number of other pass rushers that I think would actually show up on Sundays, to where this guy, I hate to say it, but I think he's a Jag, just another guy.
You know what, Joe? I'm actually on board with that. And, you know, the one head-scratching thing that kind of I haven't been able to figure out is everyone talks about his versatility, his potential to rush the quarterback up the next level. I don't see any of that. People want to compare him to Calais Campbell. I don't see that. What I see here is maybe a guy that can play 3-4 defensive end, maybe hold containment with his leverage and just, like you said, kind of just be a guy to take up space and let his teammates do the work around them. Nothing to me stands out about his game. So I actually agree with you. And if I were to find another defensive player who fits that category, another defensive tackle is Jordan Phillips, who a lot of people have going in the first round, which I'm not really sure. I could see it, I guess, just on the athleticism. But the one guy that I think is really in for that NFL draft free fall is Randy Gregory. And, you know, the weed situation in the NFL, yeah, it's somewhat accepted. But, you know, when you come into the combine and you can't pass, you know, the NFL teams actually call it the dummy test, you know. So yeah. If you fail the test at Indianapolis, they already have you pegged as a dummy. Not to mention that you failed two tests this past season at Nebraska for, you know, your last hurrah. So three failed drug tests in 1 year, not a good way to enter the NFL. Already very, very red flaggish and on the NFL radar. Goodell is already ready to invite you to the league office in New York and sit you down and have a conversation. So, I don't know. A lot of risk there. I think he pretty much cemented himself to be taken outside of the top 10. Wouldn't surprise me if he slips into that 20 to 32 range. And I think his stock is definitely on the free-for-all come 9 days from now.
Well, it's just
the
like
other
you said, Rick, they mm-hmm. already knew that he had those previous failed tests. He could have done himself a ton of goodwill by just passing the test you know you're going to have to take. And that, I think, is a bigger red flag than anything. It's like, man, we
right.
set this up for you. This was a pop fly, bro.
Yeah. No, it's alarming because now you have to wonder if he has a serious problem. And, you know, I hate to use the word addicted and marijuana in the same sentence, but, you know, if he's dependent upon it and I'm paying you millions of dollars to play football on Sundays, but, you know, you're busy getting suspended and are only active for, you know, 50% or 75% of my ball club's games, you're not really doing me a whole lot of help here. So definitely did not help his draft stock. Now, how about the guy in defense where I want to get this one in real quick is a guy not being thrown into that first round mock draft mix that you just can't figure out why not. Who's the guy that you think is going to surprise some folks on defense, hear his name called in round one come Thursday?
You know, I was tempted to use this on Stephon Anthony Clemson, and then I start talking about Demarius Randall, Arizona State. I'm tempted, but the guy that's going to sneak in, and I think it's just so overlooked, it's because the draft class is so overloaded with pass rushers, but it's Mario Edwards from Florida State. This guy, yep. I think, is everyone, or not everyone, but a lot of draft sites that I've been checking out are guilty of just kind of passing him over for the likes of you got your Vic Beasley, Shane Ray, and of course your Dante Fowlers, but outside of Dante Fowler, I don't know if there's a more versatile guy. Edwards is not just a run-of-the-mill edge. He comes from the pro-style defense. He plays the run well, but he's possibly played three or four different positions at Florida State that I've counted because he's played end, he's been at tackle, and he's played some outside linebacker and been in coverage already. This just shockingly impressive at 280 pounds. By the way, so this is a cat that the NFL going to just so many just fascinating schemes and variety of looks, exotic blitz packages. So what they need is those movable chess pieces, and what Mario Edwards is looking like, the queen of the chessboard. And yes, folks, that's a compliment because he could just do it all. And that's a guy would not be surprised. You know, what are the New England Patriots doing taking Mario Edwards? Well, because the Patriots could put him anywhere on that defense and get away with it, and Edwards would make a difference. Unlike an Armstead, I think Edwards is a guy that could do a number of things for a defense. So that's a player I see. I don't see him on a lot of mocks, but Mario Edwards, I think he's going to sneak into the back half of that first round.
Yeah, and you know, that was exactly the guy I was going to throw out there. Kind of reminds me a lot of B.J. Raji coming out from Boston College. Can line up and down that defensive line, play 34, 43, whatever you ask. And there's another defensive line from Mississippi State, Preston Smith, who I think is being underlooked as a potential first-round guy. But I'm going to throw out one more, and that's over in Utah, where this kid,
Oh, yeah.
Paul Stella, Eric Rowe, Joe, I'm starting to believe that maybe he finds himself in this first round mix, whether it's a cornerback, free safety, I'm not sure, but the kid has it.
In anywhere, you know, free safety. That's the worst, best part is worst case scenario, he doesn't survive at corner. You could throw him at safety. He's already played it at Utah. So I think that's another guy. Two spots he could potentially play in that athletic ability. Another kid that I just didn't think he had it in him, that 4.4 speed. Eric Rose, that's another guy that's tempting. You know, they've got those people, the players just outside that 30 or borderline top 30. I think Rose, it would not surprise me if like 28 or something. That's oh, what are the Colts doing with Eric Rowe? Well, they need a cornerback, they need a safety.
Yeah, and you know, anytime Deion Sanders gives you a ringing endorsement, doesn't hurt either. Not too shabby when the best corner cover man in the history of the NFL gives you his co-signature. Now, once again, the fastest 45 minutes in podcast history. That's because I'm joined by Joe Everett. I am Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. We'll be up in Chicago, just 9 days away from that 2015 NFL draft. And Joe and I will have some podcast shows during the NFL draft week. In the meantime, in between time, make sure you follow all our social media outlets. We've been talking about this NFL Draft Bible big board that you can get a free copy of. Just email me, RIC at NFLDraftBible.com, RIC at NFLDraftBible.com. I'll send you over the big board. Of course, we'll have player interviews, scouting reports. We got Joe's Bloodline piece will be posted later today, along with this podcast over on the website. And, you know, the next couple days, I told you I'll be working out with Colt Lairla tomorrow. Thursday, we have another player coming into town. So I won't be back on the airwaves till Friday with our guest, Charles Davis from the NFL Network around noontime Eastern Friday. We'll update you that with that one. And Joe, I guess I'm going to miss you, my man. It's going to be about a week until I talk to you next time. But definitely appreciate you dropping knowledge. And it's been a good run of podcast series so far, breaking it all down and leading up to the 2015 NFL draft. Woo! 9 days away, my man.
Gathering up information, checking off the days. It is getting closer and closer. Christmas in April.
And checking off the boxes, everybody. Till the next time, we're out of here.